This is the Forum for Nonprofits, brought to you by Beasley Broadcast Group. Every week, we focus on a different worthy organization and discuss how you can lend support with your philanthropic dollars. Now, the hosts of the Forum for Nonprofits, veteran fundraising and management consultant Ezra Krieg, along with public relations and marketing strategist Ellen Schulman.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Forum for Nonprofits. We're very excited about having the featured charity this week, the Ann Stork Center. It's a wonderful organization that focuses on helping people with severe mental and physical disabilities. But what's wonderful about the Ann Stork Center is they focus on the abilities of every individual. And we're pleased to have with us Charlotte Mather Taylor. She's the Executive Director and CEO of the Ann Stork Center. And welcome, Charlotte. Tell us exactly what the Ann Stork Center is, what you're all about.
Well, the Ann Stork Center was founded in 1981, and we actually have a few different programs, two intermediate care facilities, one located in Pembroke Pines and one in Fort Lauderdale, and we have four group homes, three located in Plantation and one in Fort Lauderdale. We also have a wonderful day treatment program that people come to, and some of the participants are actually individuals who live in our ICFs and group homes, and others live with their families, and then they bring them over to the day to participate in our activities. And we have a great preschool program serving children up to the age of five, and wonderful expressive arts program, which is part of our day treatment, where individuals who participate can paint and participate in music therapy and do all kinds of fun activities.
What is an intermediate center?
Intermediate care facility is a unit that is licensed by the state as intermediate care, and the residents are individuals who have more severe multiple disabilities. So they might need more medical care or maybe need some additional support and behavioral issues.
And in all these programs, how many people do you serve each year?
We serve over 300 people a day.
300 people a day?
Yes.
Wow.
And Charlotte, why don't you describe the kind of people that you serve a little bit? These are often the people that not everybody realizes are out there.
Well, what's interesting about our program is we have little children that we see, and we go up to age. Some of our people we serve are actually in their late 50s. Because when people come to us, they stay with us for life. Some programs, you know, if someone becomes non-ambulatory, they'll transfer them to another program if they hit a certain age. But for us, the Ann Stork Center is a family, and these are our family members. So once they join us, they stay with us, and as family members, we take care of them for the remainder of their life.
I know, I've been to the preschool many times myself, and one of the things that's a really wonderful story are the kids that if you get early intervention when they're babies, I've actually seen kids go through the preschool and then are able to go to mainstream kindergarten at the end of that.
Yes, actually over 50% of the children that we serve in preschool are typically able to go to regular classrooms with students who don't have any disabilities. Actually, the individuals we have in our preschool have disabilities from intellectual disabilities, epilepsy, cerebral palsy, spina bifida, Down syndrome, autism, and countless other types of disabilities. What's really great about it is actually we just had our preschool graduation this past Friday, and it was so amazing to see our valedictorian. When he first came to us, he couldn't walk, and at the graduation he was able to walk down and get his diploma. So it's very rewarding when you see that.
Now, how do people get their children into these programs that you have?
For the preschool, they're often referred to us from the Children's Diagnostic and Treatment Center. A physician can refer them over to us, saying that they have some type of disability and they need specialized care. A parent who's working with a physician can find out about us that way in the community as well and say, you know, we were looking for a preschool where our child needs some extra care. In our intermediate care facilities and group homes, they're actually referred to us from APD. They have to get on a waiting list, and they'll refer them over to us.
What's APD?
That's the Agency for Persons with Disabilities.
Mm-hmm. And are these children and adults only from Broward County?
Yes, the ones that we have right now are.
Mm-hmm. But in the past, you've served a broader area?
It's my understanding that prior to coming to the center, we did have some people referred from other areas, but the people that we have now that are being referred are from Broward County. And I know in the preschool, Children's Diagnostic and Treatment is in Broward County, and particularly since they're living at home and they come to us during the day, it's much more convenient.
Charlotte, can you tell us a little bit about the need out there? Because I know the Ann Stork Center serves 300 people a day, but that's only a fraction of the need out there. Am I correct?
Oh, yes. The need is enormous in our community, particularly, you know, as the state budget has gotten more difficult, you know, the waiting lists, they haven't been able to work them down. And so there's still a lot of people on the waiting list for the group homes and the intermediate care facility. And even in the preschool area, actually the school board this year, because of their tight funding, has decided not to fund the 0-2 age, which is quite disconcerting because, as you know, when you get children in the earliest stages, you're actually better able to help them with that early intervention and they have a better quality of life. We're still trying to make sure that we can cover them. However, as I said, you know, school board, again, is not providing that funding. So it gets more and more challenging. And when families are out there and the children need a lot of intervention in the beginning. They need physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. But if you invest in those early years, you'll find that they can do better and have a better quality of life. And it's not only good for them individually, it's good for society because they can actually contribute more as well. So it's a win-win in every area. So again, funding's tight, but it gets to be challenging when your resources get limited and then they say, okay, we can't fund it.
And what do you charge for your services?
We actually really don't charge. We actually are committed to, for example, the ones that they're not funding by the school board. We're trying to raise additional dollars to cover them because we feel it's such an important service. We'll have, we've been looking at maybe charging a minimal for maybe some small services, like maybe lunches or so on, just to try to help out. But at this point, we have not been charging.
Well, and before we run out of time, I want to make sure that Charlotte explains an incredible program they have at the Ann Stork Center that produces artwork. And I remember seeing the catalog once and showing it to a designer friend of mine who designs very expensive homes, and she thought it was amazing art. So talk about that program and how people listening can actually purchase these beautiful pieces of artwork.
Well, I do have to say it's absolutely amazing artwork. For example, one of our residents, Mindy, she paints these beautiful chefs. And actually, we have an event, a fundraiser, which we'll share about later, that actually we present a new chef at every year. But the artwork is beautiful. We have our chefs. We have beautiful nature, beautiful colors. And when you look at it, we actually sell it at the art festival and to different events around the community. And when people find out that people with disabilities have painted them, they're actually shocked because they're like, wow, that's so amazing. What's really even more wonderful, though, is oftentimes our artists, who are our residents, come to events and actually will be there with the artwork, and they all just have such beautiful personalities and they're lots of fun. So it makes it even more fun when you get some of this artwork because you get to meet the artist who's absolutely delightful, and then you get this beautiful piece of artwork. But they're beautiful. You can actually see them on our website if you go on there, and you can come to the center and buy it. And we have programs all throughout the community that are oftentimes advertised. If you call the center, we'll put you on our email distribution list, and you can come out to the events where they're featured.
Well, thank you. You know, you are listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. Today, we're speaking with representatives of the Ann Stork Center. To get more information on this tremendous organization and programs like their art program, please visit their website at www.annstorkcenter.org or call 954-584-8000. Now let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah?
You remember that ball game we went to a couple years ago?
Sure.
And how you didn't have enough cash for two hot dogs, so you walked with me on your shoulders until we found an ATM? And then when we got back to our seats, we never saw the hot dog guy again.
Well, I don't remember all that.
Yeah, that was an awesome game.
You never know which moments will be the ones they'll remember forever. So take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to The Forum for Nonprofits. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can hear the entire show online at your convenience, 24/7, from anywhere in the world. It's easy. Simply go online to forumfornonprofits.com. You can even download the show and send it to others. Online, anytime. The Forum for Nonprofits. Go online to forumfornonprofits.com. That's forumfornonprofits.com.
Welcome back to The Forum for Nonprofits. We've been speaking with representatives for the Ann Stork Center, and we're very pleased to have with us Roz Perlmutter, who has been involved, we were just discussing, a couple of decades with the Ann Stork Center. She's on the board. She's a tireless volunteer. Roz, tell us about your experiences with the Ann Stork Center and why you're so passionate about their cause.
With pleasure. First of all, I am very involved in the special needs community. Ironically, there's a little bit of fate running through my involvement with special needs organizations. My degrees were actually in marriage and family therapy, and my specialty was special needs family. I got married, and my husband and I had one child biologically and then decided to adopt, and the first child that we adopted turned out to be profoundly impaired. And we knew that when we adopted her. But my sense was, you know, we were equipped to do something significant, and we were able to take a child that somebody else might shy away from. And I have to admit that as prepared as I was, it was shocking for me to see what we were up against in terms of acquiring services and support, and the way that the community responded very positively in some ways and very challenging in others. And so I saw a need not just to raise this child, but to kind of embrace the whole situation regarding special needs families and people, mm-hmm. and see how I could get involved in a proactive way. And fortunately, it wasn't a pity pot for me. It was a challenge. It was a challenge to do everything. It was a challenge to teach my daughter how to swallow, and to start to develop her skills from birth on. She's 23 years old now. She was living at home with us until she was 17. She started out in Ann Stork Center's preschool program, which was how I became familiar with Ann Stork. And then I became very much an advocate of the center because it amazed me that rather than isolating her from the mainstream, everything that Ann Stork Center did was inclusive. And including, up to and including, bringing children in who were typical children to socialize with special needs children and educate the kids who were not special needs kids in the reality that these kids who were challenged are also people, and to give the special needs kids a bar to reach for in terms of what was available as opportunities. My daughter, as it turns out, was not one of the more fortunate children in terms of her ability to develop. She was so challenged that to this day she has no receptive or expressive language. She can't feed herself. She has no independent living skills. However, we finally moved her into one of the group homes at Ann Stork Center when she was 17, and what it never ceases to amaze me is that she has not just our family, which is her adoptive biological family, but a real family at Ann Stork Center, where she is totally included. I mean, she had her very own birthday party with her very own friends for the first time in her life when she was 17. You know, it wasn't my other children's friends who came, and it wasn't my friends who brought their kids who came, but rather her own friends and her own peers, and it was just heartwarming. And 2 years ago at the Christmas party, I've never heard my daughter say "Mom," but they handed me a painting that she did in the art workshop. Okay, so clearly, my heart, my soul, my intellect, my resources, my friends have all come forward and to become involved in many, many ways with this center, because it's a very unique environment. It's a very unique set of skills, people's population. You see real heart and soul. You talk to someone's heart and soul when you're there.
So tell us what, I mean, well, that's quite a story. But tell us what are some of the things that you have been involved with at the Ann Stork Center, and what are you involved in today?
Okay, fine. I am... I'm not as involved hands-on in the care of my daughter because, quite frankly, physically, I can't handle the challenge of her needs physically. So I thought, well, if I can't take care of my daughter myself, the next logical thing to do is to contribute in any and every way that I can to the organization and the group of people who do take care of her and who do provide this wonderful community for my daughter and for the rest of my family and the families who share the same challenges. And I'm on the board, very actively on the board. I have been co-chairing the Chef's Event, which is the yearly big fundraiser that we have. It's wonderful. It involves chefs from all over the South Florida area who come out, and there's wonderful food and phenomenal auction that a very dear friend of mine has taken over. Her name is Joan Ast. She's the auction chair. She puts together the most amazing auction items. We have 50, 75, or 100 of them, plus very high-end other items. There's something at the event for everybody. There's food for vegetarians, carnivores, you know, people who like a hot dog and fries. I mean, you name it. The chefs come out, their heart and soul. They're proud to be part of it. They call and say, can we get in there and do this? They're donating their food. They're donating their time. They're donating their energy. And they really have a sense of having done something magnificent above and beyond advertising their restaurant. When you come to that event, you talk to these people, they feel so good about being there. They know that they're feeding something besides their publicity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they understand that they're part of a huge picture, and they love it. And then we have several events. Actually, there's a young professionals group, which unfortunately I'm too
just
ripe
barely.
For. Yeah, yeah. They say, you know, you can come, but don't say too much. But that's a wonderful organization for people probably up until their 40s. And they do all kinds of things socially and proactively. Some of them work at the center on a volunteer basis, doing things like facelifting the center so that it always looks its best. Some of them donate money. Some of them get organizations involved and do community things. Some of them just do social things. But there are opportunities for everybody. I mean, if you want to come in and work with people who are challenged, that's great. If you want to mow the lawn because it's what you enjoy and you really feel good about donating your time, that's necessary also. There's nothing that we can't utilize along the lines of dedication and energy.
And before we sign off, too, Ross, say real quickly, for the parents that are dealing with a special needs child, that's a rough struggle. I mean, you volunteered to do that.
Yes.
But there are hundreds of thousands of families out there that are dealing with this. Can they call the Ann Stork Center? Can they talk to you? Can they talk to other therapists? What kind of support is out there for them?
I would suggest that everybody, anybody in the special needs community at some time or another networks with somebody else in the community. You can't avoid that. You want it, actually. You need it. Anybody's free to contact me at any time. The best way to contact me is to call the center.
Sure.
And leave a name, and I will get back with them gladly. I'm a community. I call myself a special needs advocate. Okay, I'm there, I'm available, I'm willing, I want to, I'll do anything I can. I'm sure that the center does the best they can to refer out what we can't address from the center. And there are many other resources. There's ESE, which is the Exceptional Student Education arm of the Board of Education. for people who need educational resources. There are organizations.
And people can learn about all this just by calling the center, I would assume. And,
well, I'm sure
and
that the
more.
Center will absolutely do their absolute best to refer someone in the right direction. If not, the center can give them my email contact, and I will do my absolute best to refer them in a direction that might be able to give them support. I hear from people in New York who are relocating to Florida, and they want to know what's available.
And you've had an opportunity today to learn about it, and we're going to learn a little bit more. You're listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. Today we're speaking with representatives of the Ann Stork Center. For more information on this terrific organization, please visit their website at www.annstorkcenter.org or call 954-584-8000. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You are listening to The Forum for Nonprofits. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can hear the entire show online at your convenience, 24/7, from anywhere in the world. It's easy. Simply go online to forumfornonprofits.com. You can even download the show and send it to others. Online, anytime. The Forum for Nonprofits. Go online to forumfornonprofits.com. That's forumfornonprofits.com.
Welcome back to the Forum for Nonprofits for our most exciting last segment with Ms. Charlotte Taylor, Mather Taylor, who's the executive director of the Ann Stork Center. Charlotte, I know that the government, with all the budget cuts, have severely affected Ann Stork Center, and it is not. It's very, very expensive to care for people with special needs, and we want you to tell us what people can do. People that are listening, get out your checkbooks, get out your credit card. What can they do to help the Ann Stork Center?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that all help is greatly appreciated. If you'd like to volunteer your time, there's plenty of things that we could use help with. We have the ability for you to donate ongoing. You know, for example, some organizations, you can just have an ongoing donation that gets taken out of your bank account or credit card once a month. That's one way to do it. We have a couple of events that come up in the fall area. We have that chef's event. In the winter time, we have a wish list where you can look online and you'll see some of the things that we need. And for Christmas, you can help donate some of the needed items to Ann Stork. We also have a Snow Angels program around the winter time period. Again, if you'd like to give us a donation. In the springtime, we have a Kentucky Derby Bash, which is a lot of fun, another event that people can come to, participate, have lots of fun, and give us money. There's a lot of ways you can help us, and if you just call us at the center at 954-584-8000, we'll be happy to speak to you and find a way that works for you, that's fun for you, and that also helps us out.
Now, I know that you have a program where somebody can actually adopt a classroom in the preschool. What does that cost to adopt?
Actually, it's $75 a day to take care of one of our preschoolers because of the intensive therapies they need. It's well-invested money because, again, what happens is you help them to empower themselves and so that they actually are able to work with their disabilities, become stronger. So $75 may sound like a lot, but it's actually a very small amount of money investing in someone's future.
Is there a way that high school students can get involved?
Oh, yes. Actually, we have people come to us all the time. Sometimes people bring their their classmates will have a classroom come in. Actually, one of the local high schools, South Plantation, actually has adopted a garden that they are actually keeping up for us, and they're building it up so that our residents can participate as well. We have Boy Scout troops and Girl Scout troops that come in. St. Thomas Aquinas comes in every year and does a wonderful day for us. So, yes, it's actually a lot of fun for the students, and they can get involved and give back to us.
That's terrific. And when folks get involved, is there any kind of training they have to go through or whatever, or can they just come to the Ann Stork Center and say, I'm ready to go?
Well, again, it depends on what area they're working in. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll need training if you're working in certain areas of the center, but you can also just pop in and start up if you want to work on something that doesn't require that.
Well, we really appreciate you telling us about this wonderful organization. You've been listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, and we've been talking to representatives of the Ann Stork Center. To get more information, or hopefully to get involved, please visit their website at www.annstorkcenter.org. That's spelled ANNSTORCKCENTER.org. Or call 954-584-8000. For Ellen Schulman, this is Ezra Krieg, thanking you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits.
Thank you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. Every week, we focus on a different worthy organization. The Forum is produced by Ezra Krieg, Senior Consultant with Friesenberg LLC, and Ellen Schulman, President of Ellen Schulman Public Relations. Technical production provided by Beasley Broadcast Group. Thank you again for listening, and join us again next week for the Forum for Nonprofits. Join us online at forumfornonprofits.com.